Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers. I have a very special episode today because we're not talking about Bravo. We're talking about Hulu / Disney Plus if you are outside of the US and you don't have Hulu like me. But I want to welcome Manny from Mixing with Manny. She's going to talk to me about the secret lives of Mormon wives. And I'm really excited. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I absolutely loved watching Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. And when you reached out about like talking about it, I was like, I have been looking for another avenue to talk about it. I'm like waiting for someone to bring it up in conversation.
Okay, good. Because I haven't talked about it at all. You're my first person I've talked to about it.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. I'm honored. This is a
dream. It's going to be so good.
It was a really...
Can I tell you something?
It was a nice thing.
Yes. Having you on is a little surreal for me. Let me tell you why. Because okay. I started my Bravo account in, I think, 2021. And
okay.
I was following you before I had a Bravo account.
Yes.
I was following you a little before that. Like sometime in 2020, I can't remember. It was like during the pandemic, I was like just following all like new Bravo accounts because I wanted, or like just accounts that talked about Bravo because like everybody, I was going crazy and I needed, you know, the escape. Yep. And then I ended up creating my own, but it's just so weird to actually have you on the podcast now.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. That's even better. You constantly get like, couldn't surprised by how many other people love this stuff too. So I'm just like, when people was like, oh, I've listened to you. I'm like, you have? You watch? I've seen people, I saw someone wearing a Give Them Lala or Give Them, Send It to Daryl sweatshirts from Vanderpump Rules. And I was just like, I love your sweatshirt. I love it so much. And then we talked for like 20 minutes.
I feel like
because
fans.
It binds us all.
It's like sports fans. Like if you saw someone, I'm not a sports person, but if I saw someone, this is my comparison. If I saw them, I would do the exact same thing. I'd have to approach them and say something.
Like what's your team? What's your franchise?
What is your franchise right now? Before we go to Secret Wives, what's your favorite Housewives franchise right now?
Oh, so, I mean, if you had asked me 2 hours ago, it would have been Potomac, but I was introducing someone to the world of Roni. So I went through Reddit of all the best Roni episodes and it took me through a couple of old seasons and I was like, oh God, is my favorite Roni right now? Am I going to do this
binge again?
Am I going to do it? I could watch old Roni all day.
I'm not even just saying that because you did. I literally just did like, I stopped at season 10 because I can't with Leah, but I just did 1 to 10 and it flies by. It's so good.
It's so good. It's so quick. It's so funny. There is no boring episodes, no filler episodes. And I got to give the girls credit for that. Yep. So I think at the moment right now, my favorite is Roni.
I think Salt Lake City is kind of like in that zone. Do you think so? Like they're like in that
zone. Yeah, I think that they're doing really, really well. I have some hot takes about Salt Lake City versus like the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. But the good news is we live in a space where we both can exist in harmony.
I agree.
There is not too much reality TV. And honestly, there's not too much I can learn about this topic. There is more I need to know. I really, really want to dive deep into like these all look-alike wives of and very specific culture of Utah. Like
I have watched every anything that's like the Utah. It interests me so much. It just does.
I don't know either. I've watched them all. Have you seen like Keep Sweet and Obey?
Netflix. I did watch that.
Oh my God.
There was another that was about what was the name of the guy? Was it Jeff or
Warren Jeffs?
Yes. I watched a documentary just about him. I remember when they were on Oprah.
I think
remember
I did
way
too.
Back in the day when she was there. That was the first time I ever heard of them. And ever since then, I've been like, I need to see more, please. Like, there's no limit.
Yes. And like for it to be like, so I think that one of the things that I think that really propelled so much attention to Secret Lives mm-hmm. of Mormon Wives is that what we don't get from Salt Lake City housewives is the devoutness yes. of their religion. Like they're actually, they're in it. This is something they're presently mm-hmm. doing, not like escaping or leaving or, you know, excommunicated or anything like that. They're presently doing it and they're proud of it. So like, it is a night, it's like a peek into this whole world and culture that we have never seen before. Mm-hmm. That's actually like both huge and very secretive at the
same
time.
Yeah, that's so true. It is.
It's You're very right.
It is huge and it's secretive, and it's almost like the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is like the Salt Lake City housewives maybe 20 years ago, or
like, yeah, like
we get to see maybe Heather 15, 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah, or like the girls from Beauty Lab and Laser that work there. Like this feels like their friend groups because they're all like young and yep. 20. Remember Heather would talk about how they're all like engaged. They've all been married for like 3 years and are 21, like mm-hmm. that whole thing. So it feels like that's what we have. Yeah. And I think that's what makes this show so compelling is that I'm watching something that I don't know enough about. And at the same time, they're dancing like, so and they all look alike.
Yeah.
And I do know how to tell them all apart now, but I do confirm right. they all look
I mean,
alike.
When you watch like 8 episodes in a day, like I did, it's hard not to learn the right. names. But when it first started, I was like, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to know these names.
No, I genuinely thought I would get like, I would never be able to talk about this. I couldn't take notes for 3 episodes. Like I couldn't. I don't know who is saying anything. Yeah, I'm glad they kept putting the name and the age mm-hmm. just to like keep everybody grounded, remind everyone how young
yep.
and look-alike-able they all
look-alike-able.
are.
And I loved how they had the sweatshirts in that one scene. I was like, that's helpful.
Oh, helpful. Very. Let's make that like a weekly occurrence. Like yep. we should make that every episode. They should have at least one scene where I don't have to do the work and neither do the editors.
Well, the other thing is their hair. Which it's Ooh, very yeah. like, I don't know, like, I think it's a little, maybe this is controversial. I think it's a little dated in the sense of like,
yes,
super
very...
hair is really not what is like chic right now. So
I think
in their world, it's like, you know what I mean? It's cool in their world.
Oh, it's all the rage.
Yeah.
Especially with highlights, girl, exactly. do it. You know, they're like, we're turned up, middle part, beach waves,
mind you
know,
like
these curls.
14, kind of.
So it does. But what I was thinking about is like, you know, and we've watched a lot of these like Mormon mm-hmm. and different cult documentaries. They have usually like a dress code for their hair, like a hair
right.
code. And especially in the fundamentalist right. church, right? Where they have to like all keep it braided up. I think that the uniformity is something yeah. that is like a part of their religion. They're just like, we're new, aged, and modern, so we're gonna wear it down and cute
right.
and like wavy, but it's still like uniformed, conservative, and like, you know, kept clean and cute. But it's just like, maybe not like an updo.
Right.
Like that's not the only way to show that you're clean cut
right.
and, you know, holy and everything.
And it's very
anymore.
Much like male gaze. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
yeah.
off. Do you know what I mean? Like it appeals to like men, you know, it's like the kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like keeping them hot. Right. Like they still look young and hot. You would just don't know they're Mormon.
So what do you make of Whitney having different hair? What's your thought on that? Like, why do you think she chooses a different hairstyle?
I think she's probably on a more traditional.
Oh, okay.
I can imagine that that back in the day, it would be like updos mm-hmm. and maybe bobs or, you know, shorter hair, just because that's like a conservative look. But also just poor choices. I think Whitney makes poor choices in life.
Yeah.
And that was evident in only 8 episodes.
Oh, it was.
And a lot of the poor choices, I do think, centers around hair in that household.
Yes. And what do you think? Because I really don't know what to make of it. So I really want to hear someone else's thoughts. What do you think about Whitney's style? I'm not trying to spend too much time on physical looks, but I do think they sort of represent, you know, personalities, standings in the group.
Yeah.
So
It gives me like a modern day Marvelous Mrs. Maisel vibe of like homemaker. She wants you to think like it's like borderline trad wives, yes. But like glamorous like homemaker, like 60s pinup earrings, right. And like the long apron, Lucille Ball style, mm-hmm. Like very traditional. And I think that is also to distract us from the fact that people will assume that her husband does not prefer her on his days off.
Yeah.
I think that the more you lean into traditional household family vibes,
right,
the less, and like the femininity of it all and all that, the less likely people are to ask questions. Yep. Here's the thing though, girly, we're still asking questions.
Well, exactly. And I have so many questions. And the other thing is that recently she posted, did you see the TikTok where she's pregnant? And she's wearing that red dress where it's like her boobs are like kind of like barely covered. So that's what makes me so confused about her. Like, I understood her style on the show and I totally agree with everything you just said. But then she was wearing that. So I'm like, oh, is she now like, is it different? Is it because she's pregnant?
No, I completely agree, because when I saw their like Hulu promo, yes, and they were all wearing different red dresses, I did remember seeing Whitney's and going, wow,
because
no, that's a choice. And, you know, I didn't even think anything of it. I just found it under terrible choices that Whitney makes, like, you know, it just seemed like a lot, and it was not her, as if she was trying to be provocative and trying to be something that she's not, yes, because she's so sick of, you know, Layla gets the attention for being able to be slutty and Taylor gets the attention for the drama, right, and Jen gets the attention because she is in a terrible marriage, and then, well, what about me? Like, it just gave that she wanted to have a
moment. She doesn't need to worry because she's got lots of negative attention. I'm sure she's
We're talking about you, girl. Don't
right
worry.
So what I thought we would do for this episode, we've already kind of done it, but what I was thinking is, I know there's been like a million Secret Wives recaps out there. What I do on this show usually every week is I go through all the Bravo news and just do like thoughts on it. So what I thought is I would go through Secret Lives news, like things that have happened since the show aired that people are talking about. And, you know, because we're not going to do like a whole recap. There's a million, like I said, but there's been some really interesting things out there on Reddit and Twitter and everywhere. So I thought maybe I would read them and then we can give our thoughts. And this was one that really stood out to me. So were you a mom talk person like before the show?
Okay. Yeah, I fell into it. I got on it during the scandal of it all, like during the swinger scandal. Like, that's what put me in. I love a scandal.
Me too.
I love an exposure. Love those. So when that girl started talking on those TikTok lives and I was fully in, invested. I loved everybody like denying that they had anything to do with anything. And I'm like, and who is she talking about? If none of you did it, I just want to know. So I've been in ever since, trying to break down the things and go through all of the stuff like it's been so nice. And then when they got this show, I was like, well, this is a dream come true.
Yeah. Okay. So then on that note, apparently, one of the girls, who I believe is named Miranda. Does that sound familiar? Okay, so somebody commented on a TikTok and said, Miranda, just come clean and get on the show. We'd love to see you. And then Miranda replied on this TikTok comment and she said, maybe I come clean on the show with laughing face emojis. So what do you think? Is she coming for season two?
I think that a lot of the girlies that jumped ship when the sex scandal happened did not anticipate the fact that, because they live in a different world, but they did not anticipate the fact that the world wouldn't, one, care if they were swingers.
Yeah, because the rest of us are not Mormon. Right.
Right. So this is not a big scandal to us. Like, you were kissing someone else's husband. That's just a day on Housewives. Like, it's fine. That's Ramona and Sonia swap men all the
time. Right, exactly.
So, like, nobody cared about that. But like, they didn't expect people to rally behind Taylor, Frankie Paul.
That is
like, nobody saw it coming, that like her exposing people aside from a few, we love an exposure. Yeah. We love a scandal. We don't like liars, and we don't like people who pretend like they weren't a part of something to save face and leave somebody out to dry. Like, what she did isn't cute, like with the whole affair and everything, but like, she divorced, she took ownership. Don't act like your shit doesn't stink. Right. And I think that a lot of the girlies jump ship, and now they see the success of the show and they're like, well, I could be in for that. I should be in for that. I am one of the original people. So having girlies come back out of the woodwork after, because who we have right now on the show is like these were the reserves. We barely ever saw these girls in Mom Talk. So the fact that, you know, they are coming out of the woodwork now, they're feeling owed and entitled to something. So I think we will see her on season two. I think we'll see a lot of people on season two.
And I'm here for it because I want to see the girls who were part of the swinging. And as somebody who, yes, I don't even have TikTok, I remember when this scandal came out and I followed it, just like I watched the videos on Twitter, whatever. I'm on Twitter a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm interested, like, I want to hear more about their side and like, how involved were they, more detail, like whatever we can get would be good.
I want to hear so many things from so many people, especially like, I know it'll never happen, but like the girl who actually got, you know, her husband was having an affair with Taylor. Yes. I want to hear from her. I don't remember, but like there are charts and things out there that like tell you the breakdown in the web. And then I really am interested in seeing what happens with, you know, Taylor's new boyfriend.
He's a mess.
And the women that come out of that. And I really want to know if Jen Affleck is going to come back. It's up in the air. They moved to New York. He wants to know where I don't know if that's a headline that people know, but they moved to New York.
I did know.
And now she wants to move back to Utah because the show is a hit.
Exactly.
Who knew?
And they're going to keep making more money. Now, speaking of that, of Jen Affleck, since you brought that up, I have something. Okay. So one of the big pieces of news is that her husband is not really related to Ben Affleck. We'll get into that. But the other one is that somebody on Reddit, I'm on Reddit a lot. I'm a big Reddit creeper.
Love Reddit too.
And somebody, love you Reddit. And somebody posted who went to high school with Jen. And of course this is unverified tea, but just to tell everyone, I went to high school with Jen and her sister, and they were probably some of the worst mean girls I've ever met. Jen was definitely nicer than her sister, but they would make fun of people for being too Mormon. And her sister ended up going on a mission after bullying numerous girls, and Jen went through a crazy party phase. I was shocked that she's considered one of the more devout ones now. People can change, but it doesn't surprise me who she's been surrounding herself with and who she's married to, given her and her sister were low-key gold diggers. If you scroll down her TikTok to October 2022, there's a video of her dancing and appearing to be saying the N-word. There were lots of comments asking what she said, but it seems like she didn't care, or maybe she didn't say it, but it looks like she did. I watched the whole show just like everyone else, and I feel bad that her husband seems to be such a prick, but it feels like all these girls are still high school mean girls. All right. What are your thoughts? Yeah. Did you know about this?
I did not know about most of that tea, but the whole he's not related to Ben Affleck thing, duh.
Right.
And like, the only thing I needed to know about that family is that she's devout now because she's married to a controlling
man. That's what I think.
He's awful. Yeah. And I don't think she's putting on, honestly, she's probably staying in her marriage so that she has money and things like that. But also she could have, because of who she's married to, she could have changed her life around. Like, she could have been more devout because she had to.
A lot of people
like,
do that.
That is, you know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about Heather Gay. When she got married, she became super devout, super involved. Like, that was kind of the whole thing. It becomes a part of your personality is to make your husband look good. So that's what she's doing. She's got to do what she's got to do.
He just looks like Gary Busey. He doesn't look good. So,
but like the unhealthier version, which is really
that's sad hard to do
and crazy.
So I don't know. Like, I feel like Jen, she does though seem like, I don't know who she used to be. I just know she seems like a shell of someone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Miserable. Yeah. It's sad. Really sad. And I don't know if he thought she was going to share the Ben Affleck thing. I really don't. I just feel like he maybe kind of was one of those things he would say, and he just figured like it's never going to matter because.
Right. And so you get a Hulu show.
And then she goes in the confessional because she even goes, oh, he's going to kill me for sharing this. Right. Did you remember she said that?
Yeah, because you were lied to. Right. And your husband's a controlling liar piece of
exactly.
shit. So, and there's no qualms about that. Like that's the, from start to the finish, that man was terrible.
He was, oh my God. And just the, him taking that money from her and then calling her and sending that text message. That was just one of the worst things I've seen in a long time.
After threatening divorce, because right. when they were packing for a trip he never should have been going to,
yep.
Labias only, sir, unless you got something to tell us. But he was packing, and he said to her, if she was like, well, what if we like went to like a show, like Thunder from Down Under or something? And he was like, you better be ready for a divorce. And I was like, so you hate this woman.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds
like. I
think
he hates all
because you're just going to put her through this emotional limbo all the time. Like
exactly.
That's so terrible to do to the mother of your children, is to make her constantly live in this limbo. What does that do to your kids? What does that do to her? Like, terrible man. And then to take her money and then gamble it all the way and need a reason. Like, you needed a reason to be mad at her so that you could do what you were doing.
Well, and this is why I'm concerned, because I feel like he's very much threatened by maybe her being the breadwinner. And that was in like a small way, you know, because she was doing TikTok dances and getting ads or whatever.
Right.
Now she's on the show. And like you said, they moved to New York. I'm just like, I would like her to come back because I just want to see how her story unfolds. Like, she's not necessarily the most charismatic in my opinion, but.
No, but we want to save her.
Yeah. And I want to see what happens, but like, is he going to, and I think if she doesn't come back, it's going to be very telling. And I think people should watch out for her to make sure she's like, do a wellness check.
Yeah, that's probably why he moved her to New York. I mean, she's disconnected yep. from the other moms of Mom Talk. She's disconnected from, you know, their family that lives there. She's in New York. They're just by themselves, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's not like New York is the most Mormon of places for someone like him, who's so devout right. and hell-bent on his wife being so holy. Like, you went from Utah to... That's like being like going from like Vatican City to Las Vegas
right.
as a Catholic. What are you talking about? Like
right.
yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. And I found, you know, I think that also him being threatened, I mean, you're 100% right. He's super threatened by her being the breadwinner, but also like she can't film with all those girlies and record TikToks in New York.
Right. And that's the abuser thing, like isolate. And
yeah.
separate them from their friends and their family. And that's easy because he comes from like a family that has money, like she said.
Yeah. And what are they in New York for? It wasn't a job.
Right. Is he going to school?
I mean, he is going to school, but he started school before they even shot the show.
Because at first I'm like, oh, is
her
he going?
Instagram has it as like 2020, like in July or something.
I
don't know. Maybe it's for school, but she also did a TikTok where she was like asking and begging to move back to Utah because the show was so popular, and also did another TikTok where she degraded her success of the show because he was, and he's in both of those TikToks. So
I might have to get TikTok.
He really had to protect our
girl. I might have to get TikTok just because of this goddamn show. I've kept off it for so long, not because I'm against it or anything. I'm so heavy, as people who follow me know, I'm so heavy on Instagram and Twitter. It's like trying to.
No, I'm the same way. I have TikTok, and it's like when I do go on it, it's the best experience ever. True dopamine. I'm down a rabbit hole, but like then I'll forget for like.
Well, that's probably good.
And I stay on Instagram and I stay on Instagram and Twitter. Oh. Like I'm watching Reels all day. Dang. Like it's the same thing. It's just a different platform.
I wake up in the morning. Honestly, the first thing I do is Instagram, Twitter. Like it's like it's like muscle memory.
Yeah, I do Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Like I just do bop, bop,
oh,
bop.
Oh God. Facebook, like, I delete my account.
On Facebook. Like I just want to know what's going on with people.
See, Facebook, I don't actually have like the icon on my phone anymore. I deleted it so I wouldn't check it too much, but I do go on just to see the moms groups.
I do check it a lot.
I like groups. I like watching people argue in the groups. I'm always thirsty for more drama. It's just like Housewives.
Oh, I love those me things. Too. Oh my God. I love
Neighborhood.
You know what you should do podcast-wise? Normal Gossip.
Normal Gossip. Oh my God. I'm already obsessed.
Like, it is amazing. It's people who write anonymous stories. Like, they anonymize it, but they write stories from their real life, like gossip sessions, drama, scandals.
How do you not know about this?
From their real life, and they're always like so wild. It's actually so funny. It's not super like you can even listen like if kids are around or something. Right. Like, it's not like for kids, but if kids are around, it's not super you know, problematic and troublesome. It is well done, well produced, well hosted, and it is the best stories that you've ever heard. They're so funny, so good. The tea is teeing. Like, it is so nice. Just here. I love, because I love a mess. I love drama.
Because as much as...
Because, yeah, my life is so normal.
I love that.
I gotta watch somebody else do.
Like, I love, like, rich people drama, but I also really like just the drama at, like, someone's office that they work at. Like, I love that.
Yes. Yes, there is a great story about a girl who, like, ends up accidentally texting a mean comment to her aunt and her dad in a group chat and has to get it back from her aunt while they're in a dinner in Disney World.
Oh my God.
Like, it's just like the whole life of it all, like real life of it all, is like crazy. Like, it only humans get themselves into these situations, and they're really nice to tell those
stories. See, everyone, you come on this podcast and you get recommendations. And you get,
you're welcome. I also did not take my ADHD meds today, so I'm all over.
Are you just like, I'm all over. That's okay. So speaking of regular people who are now getting attention, Jen Affleck's in-laws have also been all over making comments. Have you seen these?
No, that I have not.
So they are like, so AJ Affleck, I think this might be his uncle.
Oh, the brother I know has been like charmed. He's like the nicest.
And the aunt, who
man ever.
Crystal Affleck? Does that sound familiar?
Uh-huh. I'm like, y'all didn't watch the show.
I really don't think they did. So let me just read their comments in case the listeners didn't hear them. So AJ Affleck says, Zach is one of the best guys in the world. Ask anyone who knows him personally. I am beyond saddened by the fake manufactured representation of him. I'm extremely disappointed in Hulu, his wife. He says his wife and these fake girls. This backs up the very reason I decided to never be shown on the show. It's a fake, nasty representation of an amazing religion and people. I pray for my brothers and others deeply affected by this nonsense. And then Crystal Affleck, who I believe is the aunt. Do you know who, have you heard of her?
I
think it's the aunt. This one's shorter. She says, I love everything about this statement. So she replies to it. As someone who has been personally affected by this, let me tell you, Hulu is in the business of destroying marriages and families. So now I pray we can all judge less and love more and let our lights continue to shine to show the world who we really are. It's very like, why don't you guys go join Bethany in the reality reckoning? But what are your thoughts on that, Manny?
Mm-hmm. It's like... You didn't watch it. And so, like, you know, it's like when the housewives blame everything on editing, or they're like, well, it was just edited that way. And Andy will always remind them, like, they can't edit anything other than words you say. Like, you said the words. He threatened divorce multiple times.
We saw the text.
He texted these texts. He said it out of his mouth. Nobody fed him these lines. And if they did, it was his choice to say them. So, like, anyone who knows him personally, I would say his wife knows him personally, and she looks pretty goddamn miserable.
Exactly. And on top of that, he's not actually on the show that much, if we're being honest. Like, he's on it.
No, just and whenever he is, he's controlling and
exactly.
terrible.
Exactly. So it's like he's not even on it that much, yet we're getting this picture.
But it leaves an impact.
Yeah, like when you're not even on the show for like a total of like 20 minutes, if we spliced everything together, you can't really blame a bad edit. Like, not that I think Whitney can either, but let's just say Whitney would have more of a case because, you know, she had like a consistent whatever throughout the season. I still don't think it's because of editing. I'm just saying, for example, but he was barely on it. So it just mathematically doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and producers are not looking to make Zach out to be the bad guy. Now, were they looking to make Whitney look out to be the bad guy? Probably. Definitely. But she signed on to be on the show. Zach is just a side character.
Right.
So you did that all by yourself. You were just that impactful and you just took it away every time.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's talk about Whitney and her husband for a sec. So did I, okay. So you said you were, you know, following the TikTok stuff before. So you might already know about this, but I came across also on Reddit. Thank you, Reddit. Reddit/mom talk gossip, everyone. Great, great community if you need to be updated on literally everything Mormon wives. So apparently porn addiction came up last year in an embarrassing TikTok/YouTube video. And Whitney made him do this. And on the video, he discusses his trauma, saying he's addicted to porn because he was molested as a kid. And, you know, this user says they remember seeing the video. They felt so bad for him and, you know, just hating Whitney for making him post that. And then he was crying on camera telling it. And anyways, and then the commenter just says, to me, it felt like she made him do that to humiliate him because she felt humiliated about the Tinder thing. So did you hear about this?
Yeah, I think she was definitely super humiliated about the Tinder thing. I mean, there's a reason why the Real Moms of Bravo coined calling her spatula because of that TikTok where she, after he was on Tinder while she was pregnant, she did a TikTok where she said, if I can't have you, no one will, and stuffed the spatula.
I did see that. That I didn't know that that was after she found out about Tinder. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Poor choices. So,
oh my God, Whitney.
Like, and this was her way of being like, so she, her like humiliating him back, I think is part of like her, what they both get off on doing. He makes mistakes to prove to himself and to her that he is not anything other than heterosexual. Mm-hmm. She forgives them because she's a good wife, and then she makes him pay for it because she's a narcissist.
Mm-hmm. So, you're exactly right, honestly.
It's not, it's actually quite plain and simple when you look at it, but to watch it for 8 episodes is quite a wild ride.
And here's the other thing.
We are
really like going down the rabbit hole with this whole Tinder thing because, listen, he could have been on Tinder. I don't like to speculate about someone's sexuality. He could have been on Tinder, whether he was on Tinder or Grindr. People are having all these debates, whatever. But one thing that people did say, and apparently this is true, is that on Tinder, you cannot, send pictures in messages, I think. Sending pictures on Tinder chat, which you cannot do. Okay, so it doesn't mean that he wasn't on Tinder, but just he was saying he was sending pictures and people were like, well, you can't send pictures on the Tinder chat app.
Right. So, and it's also because we're getting the narrative from Whitney as well. And maybe that is what he told her. I hope not, because that's a lie and she wouldn't know that. But that's also the whole thing. And unfortunately, that's the thing about like the downside of, you know, what we know and what we see about in this religious community, how husbands and wives like interact is like they really just believe whatever the man says for, you know, holding on to their sanity for the sake of their children, whatever. But also like it's just like he said it and that's what it is. He wouldn't lie to me, even though he just cheated.
Exactly.
Like, but to me, Tinder or Grindr, who cares? She's pregnant.
Exactly.
Why are you looking for anything? What is it? I don't care if you're not having a need met or she can't meet it, or whatever the case. You need to be rubbing some feet, getting the aloe vera for the stretch marks, like making sure she's having a nutritious meal and getting some sleep and rubbing her, like holding her stomach while she's pregnant. Like, you don't have to love Whitney to be like, she's responding to like a fucked up situation.
Right. And I do.
In a fucked up way.
If he does want out of the marriage, let's just say he's not into Whitney or whatever, and he does want to kind of move on to something else, he obviously needs to maybe wait till she's not pregnant, but he needs to be honest about it. They need to work something out. He needs to co-parent. I don't know. I get it's a very hard thing to do. It's easier said than done. But it's sad that they're even in this situation. And I hate feeling bad for Whitney because she's such a villain.
But yeah, she's terrible. But I do. You're right. I do feel bad for Whitney. And I think she keeps having babies because they need to remind themselves and other people. It is better to have a cheating scandal while your wife is pregnant than it is for people to assume you are gay. Probably.
That is so crazy. And sometimes I have to shake my head.
It just proves that he is like, you know, macho man, right. make bad man mistake. You know what I mean? Like, plenty of men have done that. But you don't want to be called gay. Definitely not in that church. Definitely not in Utah. Not in their relationship at all. But he also was the only one on that show that had some sense. I'm not going to lie. He would talk sense into Whitney constantly. Because Whitney would say stuff about, like, her plans of, like, he's like, so are you doing this because you wanted them to call you? And she's like, no, not for the attention. And he's like, well, it seems like that. Like, he's just a little bit more, I think she stays with him because he grounds her in a way of whatever they are sexually to each other. She left alone without any voice of reason is dangerous.
Well, I think you're completely right. When it comes to the friend group, he is the voice of reason. He's good with that. You know what? He's good with navigating that. Right. When it comes to his own family dynamics, he's completely lost. He's gone. He's lost. I don't know what he's going to do. I think that's part of the reason he keeps changing his look. I think it's because he's not sure who he is. He's, you know, his identity is so, I don't know. He just doesn't know what his identity is. I think he's so lost. And again, just like Whitney, both are reflecting their lack of a surety in who they are. I don't even know if that's a word, but neither of them are sure about who they are. And it's reflected through these like constant changing physical manifestations. Like, it's actually crazy to watch.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
I agree.
It's wild. So let's talk about one other hot couple. I use the term loosely. Is Dakota and Taylor.
Well, I thought you were going to say that.
Well, we can't not talk about Dakota and Taylor. So first of all,
like, it keeps me up at
night. Does he keep you up at night?
with
scary eyes.
Like, in general, just their relationship has really been, like, bothering me. I'm, like, genuinely concerned and need her to get away.
Same. So, Jenna, have you heard of Jenna? Okay,
yes.
So Jenna posts, and she says, my name is Jenna. I dated Dakota. I will tell you everything. Obviously, she's trying to make a play at joining the show next season. Have you heard anything about Jenna? What do you think about that?
I think that Jenna, I don't blame her. I don't think that she, you know, knew at the time. I think she might have been the person who sent that DM because she had a guilty conscience and found out after the fact. I don't put the blame on any woman in these situations. Right. I put the blame on Dakota because you were in the relationship. So what is it? Like, what is it? And why are we then vilifying Demi for bringing, or not Demi, what's her name?
Jess?
Oh, God. I was so proud. Yes.
One who looks like Demi? Oh, no, the blonde.
The younger one. Yes.
Macy.
Yes. Yes. And I'm just like, why are we vilifying Macy for doing the right thing by a pregnant friend who, again, this whole thing is like, while the women are pregnant and making your babies and, you know, taking care of your homes, they're out gallivanting, doing all these terrible things to them. And like, you're mad because someone calls you out on it. And Jenna is not the problem. Macy is not the problem. Dakota is the problem. And he got caught and he like Zach, they don't do well getting caught. They're like two peas in a pod of controlling, you know, bullshit masculinity.
Yeah. And I actually, like, I don't mind Macy. Like, she's, you know, she's a little bit like Whitney's, you know, minion or whatever Demi said. You know, she does have that little minion-ishness to her with Whitney. I don't know why she's so dedicated to her, but I appreciate that she is a very loyal friend. And I appreciate that she's willing to call out these men and she can kind of see the abusive behavior. Like, we need someone like that. She's sort of like, kind of like a Greek chorus type of person. Like, she sees that kind of stuff. So I kind of like her. You know, I don't agree with everything.
I do too. And she started, you know, the season off being a little bit, you know, critical of Taylor because she is friends with Whitney. But I also like that she is able to, you know, stick up for Taylor and also do the right thing by her and be like, you deserve to know this. Like so many housewives would be like, this is not my business and I don't want to talk about it. They'd be afraid of, you know, the messenger getting shot. I think about Candace telling Ashley that Michael Darby was caught with the girl in the hotel room. Like, I think about those things, but I am happy that she met up with Dakota because she's like, I don't want to ruin your family, but she needs to know. And I don't want to hold on to this. You can fix this, assuming he'll be honest with the girl that he wants to marry. Exactly. That's their naivete, all these women.
Here's the thing though, is that, like, as much as Taylor is like, well, actually, I'm already disagreeing with myself. So Taylor said, if I knew about it for sure and I had confirmation, I would leave the relationship even though I'm pregnant. Do you think she really would have taken that step? Because I kind of go back and forth because I feel like she wants an excuse to leave the relationship because she knows it's fucked.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, she almost wants the, like, you know, let me prove to everyone that I'm going to make this work. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think that she's torn because she wants to not be a single mom.
Yeah.
I think that's where she's at. She, you know, doesn't want that, but she also doesn't like this. And she's looking for a way out. I, you know, made a meme that it's like, if you or a loved one have slept with Dakota, please call 1-800. I'm trying to get the F out. Like, she wants, like, people to let her know. But I also think that she's afraid of taking that step because the judgment and the ridicule, she's already had so much of it. It's like a trauma response, like bringing more negative attention, like, oh, two failed relationships, babies out of wedlock, and, you know, single mom, two kids, two baby daddies, or three kids, two baby daddies. Like, it's a lot. And I can understand that. But I also think she's aware that this isn't a healthy situation.
Yeah. And there's people coming out of the woodwork already on Reddit, other places, who have dated Dakota, et cetera. There's one who said their friend dated him, I was very close friends with his ex-wife in college, also from Reddit, by the way. He didn't go to school with us, but would visit the university. I was introduced to Dakota as my friend's ex-boyfriend, who she would later go on to rekindle with and then marry. Dakota was abusive, creepy, and weird towards my friend from the get-go. Extremely jealous, paranoid, and controlling, just like how he acts in the show. I vividly remember him becoming unhinged at my friend because she wanted to sunbathe with her friends in a bikini. I could see all the signs of an abusive relationship, but my friend would continue on with him. So
that's terrible.
Yeah, and I just feel like the whole thing with the domestic violence thing and her getting arrested, if you read the police report, have you seen it or looked at it or?
Yeah, I haven't seen it since the show's come out, but I saw it when it happened.
Yeah. So what did you think? Because in it, like, there's some pretty bad stuff on Taylor's part, like almost hitting her kid with the stool and her, like, hitting or picking up the stool and hitting him with it and stuff like that. And I don't want to excuse any of that, but, like, what do you think?
I don't want to excuse any of that. I think that, you know, their relationship is volatile, but I also think that what's happening is that Dakota is controlling and the abusive thing. And he is so upset that he doesn't have a gin. He couldn't Zach the situation and get to her first, like years ago when she was young, naive, didn't have the babies yet and could be convinced that it is more important that she be married with the children before having a baby out of wedlock than anything else. And now she's like fighting back with that. And I think it really upsets him when she is able to foil his manipulation.
Yeah. And I'm not, and again, like, same as what you said, I'm not trying to like excuse it, but I could see.
No, not at all.
There's a cycle.
You can see a wit's end situation as well, where the blind rage, you don't know what that situation was. Maybe the first time she found out that he was just sleeping around, it really took her out. And she, you know, is triggered. Not to mention, she just got out of a relationship. She just got divorced.
And she might have some drunk anger problems that she needs to
deal with. Yeah, she's processing.
Yeah, I think she needs to deal with that for sure. And again, I don't think that being in this relationship with this guy is obviously the best thing, but, you know, maybe things calm down. Yeah, maybe because she was pregnant, she hasn't been able to drink. Maybe that gave them
right.
You do you when you have a baby, there is a honeymoon phase with the baby, like that sense of euphoria. And it lasts for like, you know, a little bit, like a few months or whatever. And then, but it really does go away, you know, and things kind of when they normalize and you get used to it. So that's, I feel like they're in that honeymoon phase. It's his first kid. So he's all like gaga, but it's going to go away.
Right. And I think that I, you know, and that's why I appreciated when Macy did decide to tell Taylor, because she decided that it was better to do it before she was in that honeymoon phase with her new baby. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like a really like something I never would have considered because I'm not a mother. And she is one. And for her to be like, I don't want to take that from another woman. And even like from Dakota, of like, you know, this new blessing that you're having, I don't want to spoil that by telling her after the fact. Right. And I'm just like, give me time to fix it. And I'm like, y'all care more about this relationship and this baby's, you know, emotional well-being and stability in a household than she like, does.
The parents, you care more than the parents.
Than the parents, because the best thing to do for this child would be to leave each other.
100%.
And to co-parent.
100%.
Like, that's a fact. Yep. There's no way that Taylor needs actually to probably experience some independence.
I think so, too. And I think that's the thing with, like, the whole Utah mom thing, Mormon thing, is that seems like with these women, there is a fear in a lot of them of being alone. It's like, being alone means you failed. Being alone, not being a mom or a wife, in some way that makes you less of a woman in their view. So I think that's why, like, it is very brave when one of them does get a divorce or walk away, because it is, you know, an extreme thing in their community.
Layla being 22 and divorced, wild.
Crazy.
I'm actually really proud of her and impressed by her to be able to recognize the severity of whatever situation she was in being not what she wanted. Like, as simple as this isn't working for me, or as detrimental as this is not good for me. And I'm really, it's nice that she had the wherewithal to, like, we want for Jen what Layla, you know, the whatever revelation Layla got. Yep,
totally. And I think just on our last kind of point that I wanted to make before we wrap up is that the other thing that really shocks me, and sometimes I have to, like I said, hit my own head, because, you know, like, you and I and other people who are not in this, like, Utah community, we live in a different headspace. But the way that they treat getting pregnant is so, like, I'm not saying they don't care about it or anything, but it's just like, it's as natural as, like, renewing your license. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very, like, it's almost like they're on conveyor belt of babies.
It's
like
an accessory.
It's like a part of their identity to be like, oh, I'm pregnant. Like, this time around, like, I'm pregnant again. Like, and it's, they wear their baby bumps like accessories more than children when they come out.
Totally. And it's like, even like Taylor getting pregnant, she was like, I need to take a pregnancy test, like, to her mom. It was just so, and even Whitney, like, you're having all these troubles. Your husband's been cheating on you since the marriage started. And you're like, we can't
gonna
take another baby.
Test in the cake. Yeah. And celebrate another baby being brought into this tumultuous relationship.
And you could tell she was jealous that Taylor was pregnant.
Yeah. Why do you think she got pregnant by the end of the season?
Oh my God. That is, I just can never imagine myself getting pregnant out of something like to compete with someone. It's just so insane to me.
Yeah. And it's like all the brand deals and all the things, like, they get all the stuff. And Whitney is all about, like, she, the narcissist in her, she's like, it's, she can't help herself but to be, and she's so charming because of the narcissism. Like, and I'm not a psychologist, but like, I was raised by a narcissistic parent. So like,
you can,
I have a very particular, I'm very sensitive to a lot of certain like manipulative behaviors, and they're so charming and so smooth and so cool and calm and collected like a cucumber. But then they do little shit like this, where if you're not careful, you will turn around and go, she does do all these things for attention. She does do that. Yeah. And all the women like had those realizations, and Whitney couldn't take that. So she had to come, you know, my therapist used to always say narcissists only ever like change their ways or apologize when they hit rock bottom. Oh, so when nobody has called her after three times that she left Mom Talk, no one called her when she quit, when she left the group chat, when she, you know, unfollowed everyone, no one called. So what does she do? She has to come to the party. Like now she's at rock bottom. No one's talking to her. No one's being nice to her. What am I going to do? I got to go and quiver and cower and until I can get back to good graces.
Oh my God. That is so interesting. I never thought, because in my head, I always kind of thought like, I don't know, I'm not a therapist obviously, but I always kind of thought, I was like, okay, like do narcissists ever apologize? But you're right. Like what your therapist said is so interesting that it's like a last resort.
They have to lose something. Yeah. It has to impact them. Personally. And the whole point of the narcissist personality disorder is that like your feelings don't impact
them. So their feelings
it doesn't impact the decisions they make. Their standing and their own self-sufficiency like is what determines and dictates what decisions they make. Be damned anybody else. They can love you. It's just that like their self comes first. It just is.
So do you think Whitney will course correct based on audience feedback next season?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Okay. We will see a different Whitney next season because they're really good at turning the charm. Like they're really good at it. They're really good at being like, and they see it as like, okay, they don't like this. I changed that. And I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't really be able to do that. But like, it's not growth when you just change a thing so people don't like it or you hide it. But I think she will, she's already like been tweeting, like, you know, it would be a good idea for the cameras to be picked up right now so they can see our reactions on everything. And I'm like, you are objectively the second most hated character on this show. The only reason why you are not number one is because there is an abusive blonde man.
Exactly.
Here. And whenever there's abusive blonde men around, they automatically get most hated award usually. Yep. So like, that's the only reason. The fact that you want people to rush to pick up the camera so that they can see, you know, catch all the reactions lets me know that you're ready to be back on TV. You're ready to be back in the center of things. You're ready to let the girlies know you've heard them. And you're willing to change their ways.
And she's doing all these like videos where she's like, you need a new villain. Like she's doing that kind of thing, like trying to own it. But I'm like, Whitney, it's very obvious that you're pretending you're good with this, but you're not. Like,
you're not. You're not a kingdom whore. You don't know what it is. You're not confused as to like, you really want to be. She's so upset that Taylor is the breakout star, but the show was like built around her and she hates it. She hates it. Like she moved away to Hawaii to be separate from it and then came back because they got a show from it. And she's like, they forgave Taylor, but not me. I'm like, Taylor cheated on a man that we don't know or care about.
It's totally different situation.
You did a dance next to your baby who couldn't breathe. It's a little strange. I have questions. Yes.
So Manny, tell the viewers, oh my God, I'm out of it today. The listeners, thank you so much, by the way, but can you please like plug city, tell them everything. Where can they find you? Where can they listen, follow, all that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on all the things, anywhere you're listening to this podcast. After you rate and review Emily's podcast, please feel free to come and take a listen to The Mix with Moni. And I'm on Instagram at Mixing with Moni, MixingWithMani. Instagram is the best place to find me because that's where we live, apparently. Mixing with Moni on Instagram and The Mix with Moni on all the podcast things. But this was so much fun.
Can we do it again?
Yes, please. Absolutely.
Anytime.
And we'll have you come on. We'll have you come on The Mix. That'll be so fun.
Anytime. You name it, I am there. I would love to.
Yeah, there's so many new housewives. It's like fall season. God. It's fall by
Rockstar. I just watched Salt Lake City today and it was so good. I'm like dying to talk about it.
Right? I love your costume.
Sorry?
I love your costume. That's what Mary said.
So do you think it's a costume or an outfit? What do you think?
I mean, it's they're all costumes, but It's a costume. But yeah, sure. High fashion. It's just things off the runway and in Utah don't make sense. So it's going
to
be called a costume.
It looks so, it's so crazy to see those outfits in Utah. I can't wrap my head. I'm like, no one dresses like this.
I don't know what's happening.
Bronwyn walking down the street in that yellow number. And then she goes into this little.
My God.
And I'm like, what the hell?
Like, what are the, I need to go to Utah just so I can see the demographics, because it seems like 80% of the people there are so Mormon. Like, you can't see their garments. They're not drinking. They're not cursing. They all have the middle parts with the wavy hair. Like, they're doing the thing. And then the rest of them are like having tequila companies or being good time girls or like the house on the Salt Lake City. So I'm just like, what is this compilation of human that lives there? And I need to witness
it. It's like its own world. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting. It's
like Vegas, but with snow. Yeah.
And give me more Utah shows. Manny and I are requesting them. I don't know if anyone's listening from NBC, maybe by chance. Can you make more Mormon Utah shows, please?
Yeah, that'd be great.
We would appreciate
that.
Yes. Okay.
Can't get too many.
Never, honestly. I could watch 100. Well, thank you again so much for coming. And I'm sure I'll see you on Instagram very soon.
Yes.
Now, everyone, you are in the know. Well, usually say I say the no for everything Bravo. So today I'm going to say the no for everything Mormon, even though it doesn't rhyme because that's the best I can come up with right now. Hi, everyone.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, @BravoandBotox and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.